Good start, Red.
Good start. So, welcome to I Love That For You, the podcast celebrating the late bloomers and trailblazers of all walks of life. I'm Red, and that person you heard falling over
is Kelly, and she's a hot mess today. Red, what is happening? I have a pounding headache, not even alcohol induced. I'm spilling water and coffee everywhere, and I'm just camera off today, as you've seen. How are you?
I am feeling the effects of stress during a shorter month because we're coming into one of the last days of February. So I'm ready to kick that to the curb.
Red, you have been all over the damn place.
You know, I'm crazy busy when it's radio silent. Five times a day, I'm sending Kelly memes or GIFs. It's been very silent on our front.
Like, is she okay? Because I know you're busy.
No, I'm never okay, but you know.
I let you leave that charge, but I was worried I was gonna reach out. I mean, it seems like things are really piling up on your end. I'm worried about you, Red.
Well,
you
I mean,
okay?
So right now, I will be okay. It's just school is going great. I love school; it's amazing. But it is a full time school. I'm in there, and what people don't realize about going to a school like this is that it isn't a typical class where you sit and you take notes, and then you can take it home and you can study. And I mean, that's part of it. But also, you have to physically be on your feet and physically doing stuff. So you're putting makeup on other people. You're having makeup put on yourself. And you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to half-ass this. Like, this is your opportunity to practice on someone else. Like, listen, I've tried. Caboose is not going to be a willing participant in my makeup stuff. So without that, this is my only time to do it.
Does he get tagged? What do we name her? Cynthia.
No, he's kind of in love with Cynthia. So he leaves her be. Also, speaking of like the ones we love, how was your Valentine's Day? I didn't get to ask you because we recorded before. So how was that?
It was awesome. So for the actual day, we did a Chopped challenge. If you're familiar with the game Chopped on Food Network, we love that show. And there's a basket you put four ingredients
in. Oh, that's going to be coming up later.
Oh, what?
Yes, we'll talk about it. We'll get there.
Okay. Yeah, well, we went on a hike first, which was awesome, with the dog. And then, yeah, we went. And he got me flowers, of course. Lovely. And then, yeah, the chop challenge at night. And then he made some interesting things, including salmon stuffing, which I've never heard of before. It's not even a thing. We looked it up. It's not even a dish. And then we watched the terrible movie, Anyone But You. Don't recommend it to anybody.
Yeah.
Awful. But then past Friday was actually like the date for Valentine's. And he took me to the West Side, which I haven't been to the West Side in like 4 years.
Well, because it takes about 4 years to get there with the traffic.
Exactly. And this place in particular, I haven't been to it probably in 10 years. Abbot Kinney, which is in Venice adjacent, or it is Venice.
Oh, okay.
So we went to a nice restaurant. I think it was called Butcher's Daughter. Very nice. Very LA.
Oh, I remember Butcher's Daughter.
You've been there?
I did for some reason. I'm trying to remember why.
Very like, it could be a date night spot because it's very like romantical. There's plants and lights.
Right. I might have gone there with my mom.
Okay, well, romantic.
Which isn't so romantic, but I mean.
The highlight of the night was after. He wouldn't tell me what it was. He took me to this parking lot in Playa.
Oh, so you guys parked,
Playa del Vista or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Playa del, I don't know, what is it, Ray or Vista? Whatever. See, you can tell I don't know the West Side. And we're waiting outside, and there's this large, like, box truck that we're, like, waiting outside of. And it turns out it's this experience. A bunch of people over the pandemic bought this box truck or shipping container. I don't know. It's this long white thing, and there's stairs that go up it. So imagine that in a parking lot. And
not at all sketchy.
Not as sketchy at all. And then they open it up. And it's a full-on, like, decked-out tiki bar. It's called Tiki Mirage. It's very hard to get into.
Honey, that's
people,
like your dream.
Yeah, it literally was. I'm so impressed. It was such an experience. Everybody Google it right now. If you're in LA, look up Tiki Mirage. It's very hard to get into. He tried to get into it last year, but it sells out immediately. It's only room for 12 people in it. And it's theatrics. It's, you know, the light show and the, you know, every time there's like talking captain. And they had like four rounds of different drinks with theatrics involved. And then you had to bring, which Sean didn't read the fine print, so we had to borrow something, but you have to bring like an offering. So everybody brings like an offering of like an item that means something to them, and then they like will put that around the tiki bar and like decorate with it. So I just unknowingly like looked into the box and borrowed something, and it was High School Musical 3. So Red and I, having worked at this organization, that was easy for me to make up a story about. Yeah, it was magical. It was so unique. And these guys, credit to them, like did this over the pandemic.
Aww.
Just created this whole experience in a box truck in a parking lot, which I don't know if it's legal. And I don't know if me saying this is going to get them in trouble, but it's been well documented on Thrillist and Eater and all that. So I'm sure it's fine. But yeah, it was really creative and fun. And then I had to pee so bad and there was no bathroom. So I had to pee in a cup in the car. So that was fun.
Oh, wait.
They need a bathroom. Because if they're going to serve that many drinks, I'm sorry. You got to put a bathroom or a porta potty somewhere. I can't be the only one who had to pee so bad. But there's a 75-minute time limit because they move people in and out real quick.
Oh,
but,
wow.
Yeah. If you ever come back, Red, we have to get a reservation.
Yes.
You would love it.
I would love that. That sounds amazing.
It was so
fun.
But yeah,
I'm
it was
so
really
happy.
And fun and a great night out. And yeah, that was our Valentine's. But you, my dear, have the main event because you had a whole Substack I read about, but please tell everybody, what did you do?
As a single person, you would be surprised how much somebody can pack in on a Valentine's week compared to other couples. I am like so out of Valentine's mode right now. I am like anti-Valentine's right now because it's just been quite
love.
I do, but love is also stressful when you're single.
It's true.
Because I took this amazing trip out to Port Dover. There was this pinup event. I think I talked about it last time. I got to go to Susie's Bombshell Boutique. I had spoken with her before, and she is such a doll. And there was just like a bunch of other pinups. I met some other girls who are in pageant or have done pageants before. And we hit it off because what I love about the pageants in pinup is that you're supposed to be supporting each other. It's not like a beauty pageant where it's like someone steals her costume or someone breaks the baton. Like, it's not any of that crazy shit. It's supposed to be, oh my God, I finally found other women who do this like me. Hell yeah. Like, let's support each other. Let's have a good time. Like, let's like see what looks we come up with. Like, it's supposed to be like that. Is it always? No. What I'm hoping is this will be one of those instances. So I danced. There was rockabilly music. Port Dover is kind of known for having like a biker community. Oh, it was great. One of the girls and I were walking in and the girl was like, oh, I'm like in love with like the guitarist. Don't tell my husband. And there was this woman sitting outside and with a cigarette. She was like, I've already called him. He knows. It was so good. And we were just, I was like, I like you. She had like her leather jacket on, like kind of spiky hair. And I was just like, oh, I love people like that. Yeah, it was just so great. And then all week long at school, I'm part of the student rep group. And I was a little stressed out because I was helping throw all of the festivities going on that week. And by helping throw, basically I was doing all of it. Yeah, I was... Thankfully, shout out to my classmate Douglas, who is also a student rep. He was awesome and trying to help as much as he could. But like a lot of the other student reps just like didn't even show up. They didn't contribute. They said all the things that they wanted to do, but then when it came time for them to actually execute, they were not there or they were not helpful. So I was a little bummed out by that. But again, I also have to keep in mind these are 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, some of them. Some of them have not had the experience of, okay, we want to do this thing in school. So then their teacher takes care of it or their parents take care of it. They're not used to having to be the ones who do the actual thing. Douglas is in his 20s. I'm not going to say what age because he will probably murder me. No, he was such a help too because like we had a scavenger hunt and he dressed up as Cupid for us. Aww. And so people had to go and try and find him. We did a trivia, which, of course, you know, I love. We made it so you didn't have to, because the lunches kind of don't always line up. So they just had to turn in their sheets for the trivia. And if they got it all right, then they're entered in for a chance to win at a raffle. And it's actually stuff like from the store, I believe, is going to be some of the prizes. Part of the school has a professional makeup shop that you can buy products and tools and things like that. You get some products, maybe some swag. We don't know because the school itself determines what the prize will be, but I imagine those are going to be some of it. And it was so fun, and we decorated and we made mailboxes, which were just lunch bags, but you could make Valentines for each other.
Oh, think of The Simpsons whenever I hear that.
I know. You. Yeah, exactly. So people could make stuff. Oh, my class. I love these. I love them so much. Like, I'm so happy I'm with this group because they are so supportive, but also so perverse. I love them. One of our classmates is a little bit older and English isn't his first language. So he was asking if I could read what the card said because he couldn't quite read it. And so in the middle of the hallway, I had to read a Valentine that read, "I'd point my erection in your direction." And there was a teacher coming by at that moment, and it was a little awkward, but I love that.
I'm sorry. Was this a pre-made card, or did somebody, write this?
Oh, people made these.
I was like, where do I buy these?
Yeah. Another one that was great said, "Happy Valentine's A. If you're wondering where the D is, don't worry. I'll give it to you later." They were so good. I was so impressed with everybody for the amount of, perverted.
These are your people.
Oh, these are my people. I, loved it. And then Friday, I had a Galentine's wine and paint night, emphasis on the wine.
A side of paint, but mostly wine.
Yeah, but it was great too because then I got to hang out with other single women and we were painting, which I am terrible at, but I did okay, at least with the wine. So this whole week has been this nonstop, a lot of work, but also a lot of fun. And I found out I have an interview finally. So fingers crossed.
But I do have to ask, because you said after the ball, you might get on the apps. What are we thinking?
This is going to happen. Yes, we're going to go on the apps. Because they really want to. My classmates actually want to help me make my profile. So they will be helping, but I think we may need to have the... Yeah, I think we may have to put this out to you, our listeners, and Kelly, to help me decide what to actually put in my profile.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So guys, be on the lookout for that. We'll be posting it to our story.
And
we will make a little bit, maybe for Wednesday, a Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yes.
So... help me find my crush.
It could happen within the next week or so, or what are we thinking?
I'm thinking, yeah, because I mean, as much as my schedule's insane, I think it is time to start at least seeing what's out there and making connections and all that. Just take it slow, because Valentine's Day really helped me recognize that. As much as I care about the person I left in the U.S., I think it's time for both of us to move on, because I can't ask somebody to leave the country just for me, and he wouldn't ask me to move back just for him. We care about each other, but sometimes that happens, and we're going to stay friends. Obviously, I care about him deeply, and that's why I also want to take it slow, because I also need to give myself time to, be fair to whoever new comes into my life if I still have these feelings. It's only fair.
Oh my god,
I know you're excited. You're like, yes, okay, so let's find the hockey players. Let's find...
I'm like, now I have a new purpose in life.
Yep. Oh god. You are gonna make my profile the most chaotic thing ever. Because it's so funny how you're going to go probably the opposite of what I would normally do.
But
you know what? That actually reminds me, because speaking of opposites, I think then we could talk about...
I actually know who it is.
We know who it is because we've been talking about doing this duo, because we just love their friendship. Their friendship is one that most people at first scratch their heads at, because they're like, they could not seem more opposite. Yet... I love their friendship. I love who they are. Without further ado, to close out the Friendship February, we are here to talk about Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg.
Yes, queen.
Because again, you could not be any more opposite, but I'm going to do a little background on both of them. We're going to start with beauty and age first, because Martha's actually quite a bit older than Snoop.
You think?
Now she's in her 80s.
Whoa, really?
Yes. Martha was born Martha Kostraya on August 3rd, 1941.
Whoa.
This is in New Jersey, and she was the second of six children.
Jesus Christ.
I realized I knew very little. Right? I didn't know about this. Okay, she was raised in Nutley, New Jersey, and this was a working class community near New York City. And during her childhood, she learned to cook and sew from her mother, she learned gardening from her father, and she also learned the processes of canning and preserving from her grandparents in Buffalo, New York. Kelly. Who knew she had ties there?
Then Buffalo. That's all that we're known for.
Yep.
Learning how to can and preserve.
Yep, that's it. When she was 13, she actually began modeling. So she was appearing in fashion shows and television and print ads, which, okay, because I am actually about to send you a link.
Whoa, what? That's not her.
She's a babe.
She is a babe. That's Martha?
That's Martha.
I like this cow or whatever that is. Right? In the background.
But you could kind of see, you're like, wait a minute. Actually, I could see it once you like look. But I was like, wow, she is so hot. But, you know, she was still modeling, but she would stay in school. And she ended up going to Barnard College in Manhattan. And there she was focused on European and architectural history.
Huh.
Right? I was like, oh, okay. But it's there that she would meet Andy Stewart, a Yale law student. And given the last name, I think you see where this is going.
I think I see where it's going.
Mm-hmm. So they actually would marry in 1961. And that's even before she got her degree in 1962.
Oh, wow.
So she's like 20, which I know I'm going to catch some heat for this, but I'm sorry. To me, if you can't legally drink at your own wedding, you are too young to be making this kind of decision. That's just my personal stance. I think you can take your time. There's no rush to get married. Wait till you can have a champagne toast at least at your own wedding. That's my personal stance. And I would actually be right in this case, but we'll get to that. Anyways, they would go on to have one child together, Alexis Stewart, who some people may be familiar with later as a TV and radio personality. As you can tell, I'm going to go kind of all over the place with timelines and stuff here.
Great. Love it.
Anyways, in 1967, she began working as a stockbroker for a boutique firm of Moness, Williams, and Sedell. If I say those names wrong, I don't care. They can pay for someone else to pronounce it right. sorry. And she would work on Wall Street until 1972, and the family moved to Westport, Connecticut.
Aha, we love
Meanwhile, we're going to get to that too. No, thank you. And as someone who's lived there, I can say that. Meanwhile, on the opposite side of the country, in 1971, a young Snoop Doggy Dogg was born. Well, okay, let's be fair. He was actually born Calvin Cordozar Brodus Jr.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, that is his legal name. That is his government name.
Jr.?
Brodus Jr., yes.
Oh, dear God. I can see why he changed his name.
Again, he was born October 20th of that year, and he was the second of his mother's three sons. And he was actually named after his stepfather because his biological father would end up leaving the family basically 3 months after his birth. And he remained out of Snoop's life for a very long time. Seems like he wasn't really present. And actually, his stepfather, where he got the name, and his mother would separate when he was about 3 years old.
Aww.
His mom did such a good job, though. Yeah. Trying to raise him and his brothers. Jeez. Like he talks about it in his raps about how much like he appreciated the way his mother raised him and loved him and everything. And actually, it's because of her that he has the iconic name that he does, because when he was little, she thought he looked like Snoopy from the Peanuts cartoon.
Oh.
So Snoopy eventually became Snoop.
Oh my God, that's where he got it from.
That's where he got it from.
That's cute.
So as we know, Snoop would actually have several nicknames throughout his life, and I thought I'd list a few of them.
Oh, please do.
Yes, so we have the classic Snoop Doggy Dog. Then there's Big Snoop Dogg. There was a brief time where he became Snoop Lion.
Yep.
He was known as the Dog Father, Snoop Rock, DJ Snoopadelic, Snoopzilla, Faye Snoop, and I cannot say this one, but instead of Liberace, it was N-word Rachi.
Oh,
yeah, so I cannot say that. No. But
yep, there you go.
But yeah, those were some of his names, because it's interesting because he actually got his start with music by playing and singing piano in his local Baptist church. But it was when he was in sixth grade, he rapped for the first time in public in front of his class, and they were so impressed with him, they started calling him Super Rhymes. It was the 80s, so we kind of forgive the name.
Yeah.
But he started spending a lot of long hours studying rappers and working on his ability to rap and write and things like that. And he actually said later in an LA Times article, when he rapped in the hallways at school, he would draw such a big crowd that the principal actually thought there was a fight breaking out.
Wow.
And
damn.
Yeah, it made me realize that I had a gift. I could tell my raps interested people, and that made me interested in myself.
Aww.
So Snoop's sound is actually very unique, especially around that time, the West Coast gangster rap that we know. Yep. It was very influenced by gang culture, but every artist has their own style. And while everyone else was kind of doing these fast, hard raps, you know, like you have someone like Ice Cube and
NWA.
You know, well, they're going to come up. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah. So even though that was more of the style, Snoop stood out because he had more of that relaxed, melodic style where it was described as like the too cool flow. It was different.
Yeah.
But it also allowed him to tell more of his story, to have that come through. Having such a style actually earned him, obviously, lots of hits, which we'll get to. And it earned him the title of West Coast Icon, an icon of gangster rap, and Vibe magazine in 2006 even called him the king of the West Coast.
Damn.
So
wow.
However, we weren't there yet, because despite his mom's best efforts to keep him out of the life, after graduating high school, he fell into the wrong crowd and started participating in gang activities. He was associated with the Rollin' 20 Crips gang and was arrested several times for drug possession and even spent time in prison. So obviously this was a really hard time in his life, and he used music to help distract him from his troubles, recording early demos with his cousin Nate Dogg and his friend Warren G.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get to that, because as Snoop is growing up, Martha is literally making a home, because the Stewarts would end up restoring an 1870s farmhouse they had bought. Obviously the dream. And I think this restorative attitude actually inspired her to create something else from the homestead. So I read she also had trained herself on cooking by reading our girl Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking. But here's the thing, I love this. She was roughly our age, around 35, in 1976. And I said around, but she decided to start her catering business in her basement.
Oh.
She became known for her gourmet menus and really creative presentations. And I think, honestly, it's because she also ran in the right circles.
Right.
Because, you know, when you are a stockbroker rubbing elbows with other stockbrokers and you're like, oh, I can do this, you know, that's going to definitely help. Because it wasn't an overnight success, but within the decade, Martha Stewart Incorporated had grown into a $1 million business. Wow. Where she had both corporate and celebrity clients. So she has like businesses that she's catering to too. She would also venture into publishing with her first book, Entertaining, which became a bestseller and was followed quickly by a series of other relevant home planning, cooking, and event books. My personal favorite was a book in 1984 called Martha Stewart's Hors d'oeuvres, The Creation and Presentation of Fabulous Finger Foods. I'm like, you couldn't sell more Connecticut if you tried.
They're probably so impractical, and it takes like 5 hours to make them.
Right.
A million ingredients.
But again, we're talking like it's 1984.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's the 80s.
It's fun.
You know, we're still figuring out a lot of things, and we had time back then to actually spend making hors d'oeuvres
for
hours.
We're doing Coke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
However, not everything was as perfect as it seemed for Martha, as the fame would become a point of contention between her and her husband. Mm. After a very, very bitter 3-year separation, they would finally divorce in 1990.
I'm sorry, why does she still have the name Stewart?
You can still keep it after, because if you've legally changed your name.
Well, I guess with the brand, but I wonder if, yeah, she would have changed it back otherwise, because that's...
Some women choose not to, because again, they've legally done it. You have to legally change it again after a divorce. Yeah, it doesn't just disappear.
Don't change your name, people. Highly recommend. Much easier. Keep in mind.
I say both of you guys change your names into something.
Yeah, we'll make it into, right? Bandit. Kelly Bandit.
I support this 1,000%.
Sean Bandit.
Red Caboose sounds so wrong.
That's your porn name.
Oh, no. In my opinion, nothing spurns on success like a breakup.
Yes.
But also maybe dating Hannibal Lecter.
Dated.
Fun fact,
right.
Martha Stewart dated Anthony Hopkins for a little while, but she admitted she could never shake the image of him from Silence of the Lambs, so it ultimately didn't work out.
How do you date after that, like him? How does he date anybody, rather? That's all I would think of.
You watch a lot of other movies of his, and then you're like, okay, because he's a fantastic actor, but he's too good, because that was terrifying.
Terrifying.
I don't know how her working in food and him, like, I see how it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Anyways. But in 1991, Martha Stewart Inc. became Martha Stewart Living Omni Media Incorporated. A mouthful. Because she was releasing her magazine, Martha Stewart Living. Her empire would soon include two magazines, a popular cable TV show, a syndicated newspaper column, a series of how-to books, a radio show, an internet site, and 763 million in annual retail sales.
Jesus Christ. So she's a billionaire, yeah?
I think because she's invested, technically she's not, but okay. And there were certain years where her company did not turn a profit. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it just depends. Across the country again, Snoop was ready for his own success. So through Warren G, who is the stepbrother of the legendary producer and co-founder of NWA, by the way, we cannot say what it stands for because it's N-word with attitude, so we cannot say it. But in case anybody ever was curious.
Or in the movie, no whites allowed.
That too. Yeah. One of the tracks, like from those demos that they used to record, it caught the attention of Dr. Dre. So that is like his stepbrother, Warren. At that point, he really only knew Snoop from his drug dealing. They ran in similar circles because, you know, obviously with the stepbrother and everything,
right.
He used to sell weed and stuff like that. And so he knew him as that. But when he heard the music, he could not believe that that was Snoop. And he said, and I quote, "This is a fucking diamond in the rough and we need to polish it up."
Yes.
He would call to invite Snoop to audition. And you know what Snoop did?
What?
He hung up on him.
Wait, what? Why?
Yeah, no joke. He thought it was a prank.
Oh my God.
So Snoop hung up on Dr. Dre.
No.
Apparently it took a follow-up voicemail to convince him it was really him.
What?
And then they would meet, he would audition, and then obviously they started literally making the music happen.
Wow.
So I think that's so funny. That's so he funny. Almost shot himself in the foot by like not taking the call. Like, guys, always take the call.
That is a weird call to get, though. Like, come on. I would think that too if I were him, probably.
Yes, I could see why. And he'd probably be like, Warren, shut the fuck up. And hung up on
him. With me, motherfucker.
Snoop became the key rapper on Dre's wildly successful solo album, The Chronic, in 1992, and then would release his first album, Doggy Style, in 1993, obviously with hits like Who Am I? What's My Name? And Gin and Juice.
Yep.
Laid Back. I don't know if we can actually
put
that
in
there.
I want to put all the music in here.
I know.
I can.
But it would quickly climb to number one in the Billboard Hip Hop and Top 200 charts. He would also marry his high school sweetheart, Shantae Taylor, in 1997. And while they had some up and downs, they are still together with three children. He does have a fourth child with another woman. They separated for a little bit, but ultimately stayed married. And now they're even grandparents. So he's Snoop Granddog.
Oh my God.
I love it. Well, he would also face some legal issues from his criminal past. He was charged with cocaine possession, gun possession, and he was even tried for a murder charge because he was a passenger in a car where somebody in the car committed a drive-by. But he was acquitted of that. So it seems as though it may have been, you know, something he wasn't aware of that was going to happen. He was a passenger in the car. And then, he was acquitted of that. And this would end up delaying the release of his following album, The Dogfather, in 1996 is when it finally came out. Dre wasn't on it due to issues with Death Row Records. As we know, Death Row Records was led by Suge Knight, who will very, very unlikely ever be on this podcast. But the album would actually do very well. It became another chart topper. Ultimately, he would actually leave Death Row Records as well and continue to release top hip hop records. Well, as we know, Martha too would face her own legal troubles.
Yep.
I'm going to use the article that I found about this to boil this down because I know insider training, all that stuff is really confusing.
Yeah.
I don't understand it personally, but basically in June 2002, Martha would make headlines for the rumors of insider trading. She was under investigation for selling hundreds of shares of, I believe it's pronounced I'm Clone Systems. So basically they were making a new cancer drug and she found out ahead of time that the Food and Drug Administration was going to refuse the approval of it. So she dropped all those stocks before the announcement and that would actually drop the value of the stock significantly. And you're not supposed to do something like that. Due to having that insider knowledge, she was able to make the trade before the stock changed in its value. So she got out before it would have actually been declined. And obviously she didn't tell other people this. Due to the investigation, Martha actually was on the board of directors of the New York Stock Exchange. She chose to resign 4 months after she joined because of this. June 2003, so basically a year later, a 41-page indictment charged her with the securities fraud, obstruction of justice, conspiracy, and making false statements to prosecutors and the FBI. She pleaded guilty to all the charges and stepped down as the chair and CEO of her empire. And while she, in February of 2004, so again, this takes a while for all this to come through, they dismissed the securities fraud charge, but the jury found her guilty of conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and two counts of making false statements. So she was sentenced to 5 months in prison and fined $30,000 that July, which... when you're making over $700 million, that's not really that much.
No.
And she would serve part of her sentence at a minimum security prison in Alderson, West Virginia. Again, it's white collar crime, that kind of stuff. But again, it also shows kind of the disparity between, you know, sometimes social classes and things like that. But Martha would not be kept down. When she was released from prison on March 4th, 2005, NBC announced she would host two new shows, a daytime talk show and how-to show. And a spinoff of the reality show The Apprentice. So she actually had like her own version of that. I don't really remember it, to be honest.
So I never heard of this.
I probably didn't do as well, but obviously we know about her daytime. And so she actually finished up her sentence by also being under house arrest in her home. And at this time, it's not the one in Connecticut, but the one in Bedford, New York.
I'm sure it's still a palatial palace.
But having this show would actually be where the magic would happen. Because apparently both Snoop and Martha were backstage at David Letterman, and Snoop was very impressed by Martha. So much so, he began writing her a series of emails that Martha would later read on the show. They read in part, "Hello, MS. It's Snoop Dogg. Says hi. NCN. How you doing? Holla back. Boo." NCN is apparently like, we're family, what's up, like that sort of thing. NCN. And also he said, "I would love to hang out with you whenever time permits. I dig your style, MS, for real, for real. So hit me back when you are free for me. Be sweet and stay." It was censored for the TV. And stay blank blank is what was said. She was so intrigued by these emails that the unlikely decision for most people outside of it decided to make Snoop Dogg a guest on the Martha Stewart show, and they would together make mashed potatoes. And Martha said about the experience, "Well, Snoop came on my show, and what was really charming about Snoop, first of all, was his giggle. He giggles in a very, very nice way. And his quest for learning, he's a real student, and that's what really appealed to me."
God, it's like they're dating or something.
Well, I mean, it's like so cute. I love adorable. It's friendship dating. We need to do it too. Like, because
so
he about her, he said, "I love Martha. Like, I love her, like, for real," and described her as the big sister I never had.
Do you think, did he have much more respect for her because she went to jail? Like, was that part of it?
I mean, I don't think so, because I think it's a different experience. I mean, I think it was game recognized game in both for both of them, but in different ways. Like, I think he saw, she had different opportunities, but she still had to make it work and still had to hustle and still had to like to build up this empire. And she got caught up in, some people would say it's a different kind of game. The insider training, the stock market, that's like a, I mean, we've all seen Wolf of Wall Street. It is a fucking
shark,
power hungry kind of, exactly.
Doggy dog world.
Exactly. And she's also seen him as someone who, she saw him come up.
Right.
She knows the name. She met him. Like, he's someone who very much had to be a self-made person as well. It was different circumstances. It was all these other things. But it really did make an impression on not only each other, but other people saw this too. Like, their producer said, it's like they are a unit. They exist. It's not fake. It's not put on. It just is what it is. That's why I think it feels so good, because you have two people that genuinely love each other and respect each other for real.
Ugh, I love that so much.
I know. Aww. And the rapper and the homemaker basically returned the next year to make brownies together, and the new friends joked about the most important part of that recipe. Right? I love that. Like, I'm like, wait, Martha's talking about getting high with Snoop.
Amazing.
I'm like,
wait, did she have him on 420? Please tell me she did.
Oh, I don't know when it aired. Like, I didn't have that date. And the thing is, they just continue to enjoy each other's company. Like, since their cooking and baking days on Martha Stewart's show, the pair have gone on to work together as roasters on Comedy Central's 2015 Justin Bieber roast.
That's right.
And Martha basically recalled in an article about how Snoop just smoked all day long during rehearsals. Like, she literally said, all he did was smoke, and everyone was in such a good mood, and we were all roasting each other. And luckily, Snoop's secondhand smoke really kind of eased the pain for me a lot. And it was hysterical, because I just felt, okay, I'll go with the flow here.
Oh, Martha, don't be pretending you're not partaking.
After, like, 6 billion views around the world, it turned out to be one of the best things, and it cemented my relationship with Snoop.
Oh my god, I love it.
So they were also co-hosts of the 2021 and 2022 Puppy Bowls,
yes!
Co-stars in various commercials like Skechers, and there's that new lighter.
Yes.
Do you remember that one? Yes, that was so funny. Yes.
Oh my god.
They've teamed up to co-host a VH1 celebrity cooking show, Martha and Snoop's potluck dinner party, and judge a Halloween food competition, Snoop and Martha's Very Tasty Halloween.
Oh my goodness.
So even though it seems unlikely, they really do seem to have genuine affection for each other. Martha even confessed to finding Snoop attractive.
What?
But the literal 30-year age gap and him being married has made her be like, I find him handsome and attractive, but he is my friend. I would never do that. Because, yeah, there's like a 30-year age gap.
Damn. But, I mean, she is a hottie.
She is hot. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. Because obviously they've gone on to be spokespeople for various products together, but they also do their own separate things as well and very successful. Both are foraying into the world of acting. They make cameos and play characters on a variety of TV shows and movies. For example, Martha has appeared on Law & Order SVU, Ugly Betty, and has even been a recurring judge on Chopped.
My favorite show ever! Yes,
so yeah, she's been a judge a few times. Yeah.
Love Chopped.
So, obsessed. She'll come in for certain things. She's not like the standard, but she's like a recurring one who will come in.
Yep.
I mean, she also just launched 3 shows on Roku in 2022. Martha Gardens, Martha Cooks, and Martha Holidays.
Martha takes a shit. No.
Honestly, people would probably tune in for that because they'd be like, how does she do this? Well, but in May 2023, she also appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Magazine as the cover model. And at 81 years old, she is the oldest model to feature on the cover. But god damn, does she look good.
I want to look like her when I'm 81 or now.
I want to look like her now.
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ. You guys, if you haven't seen it, look it up. She is sexy.
She looks so fucking good.
I mean, money will do that, I guess, if you have money.
Yeah, but also genetics, too, because clearly now that we've seen her as a teenager.
Stunning. Stunning.
Meanwhile, Snoop has also been doing more things outside of music. He's contributed his voice to 2 of the animated Addams Family movies, playing Cousin It.
Right.
He was in the SpongeBob movie as the gambler. He also appeared on Law & Order SVU, but not on Martha's episode. He's been in Pitch Perfect 2, Soul Plane, Starsky & Hutch, Scary Movie, Scary Movie 5. I didn't realize there were even 5, but anyways.
And he was in Bora Bora when I was there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, for our honeymoon. He was there in December. They showed us the island he was on. He was on his own, like, private island.
Well, of course he was.
Yeah, but, yep, overlapped with Snoop. You're welcome, everyone. I said hi.
I mean, the other thing, too, is he's been in so many things that he literally has a whole filmography page dedicated to him.
I believe it.
And, of course, he also appeared on the iconic Super Bowl halftime show alongside Dr. Dre, Eminem, Mary J. Blige. Like, that one was the best one ever.
It was just such full of life and vigor and West Coast vibes. And I feel like Gen Z probably was like, huh? But for us millennials, we were living for it.
Oh, it made all of us so happy.
Yeah, I was
but
happy.
Here's the other thing that I love. So just before his appearance, he announced that he had actually acquired Death Row Records.
That's right.
He acquired the label that launched his first album. Like, what a full circle moment.
Iconic.
He's announced that in 2022, he announced he's going to be launching his next album, Missionary, with the label. And it's being entirely produced by Dre.
I love that.
It's amazing. I mean, there's so much to say about both of them, but I will say that I love this friendship so much for the two of them. I think professionally, it's actually helped both of them because, I mean, it shows that Martha isn't as uppity as, like, Connecticut women are stereotyped to be, because the stereotype exists for a reason.
Is it a stereotype if it's true?
I'm just going to be over here sipping my tea. Anyways. You know, it also helps show that Snoop, despite his, like, gangster reputation, he's a very relatable and, honestly, I'm going to say it, he's an adorable person. Like, he's just so friendly. He's so, like, patient. He's so kind with people.
Really is.
I'm sure that wasn't always the case, obviously.
No.
Some of the things, when you're in a certain group, that you have to appear a lot tougher. But I think deep down, he seems like someone who's very kind-hearted and he has good intentions for other people. I think this friendship also shows that despite both of their criminal backgrounds,
right,
our past and our decisions, good or bad, they don't define who we are. Like, we can always change. We can always learn from that. Instead of stereotyping and just looking at people at like surface level, we should be able to go beyond that. And in doing so, you can find success and maybe even find the friendships that can change our lives for the better.
Oh, Fred. What a good profile. I love
it. Right? Oh, it was so fun. There's so much more, again, to both of them. Right. And like, I love learning about both of them because they're so interesting.
They're so
just
unlikely.
Fascinating stuff, right? Anyways, yeah. I will say this. As much as we've talked about on the last episode, the unlikely friendship sometimes of the two of us, we appreciate the all kinds of friendships, those that are different or maybe they make sense. And
either criminals.
Coming off criminals or... I mean, looking back at this whole month, as short as it was, we tried to pack as much about relationships,
right,
like, you know, that we could. And there's so many different ones out there. And I think it's just important to remember that, like, as we start this new year, I mean, we're only in February, as we kind of go forward, just like how much we appreciate each other and how much those relationships can help support each other. We want you guys to have healthy, happy, and hilarious relationships that really bring out the best in you.
Yes.
And... yeah, that's why we love you guys, because we love hearing about your friendships and we love feeling like you guys are friends of ours too, because just having you listen makes us feel
really
like,
does.
Yeah, but we have friends. Yay! Rate,
subscribe. We would love that
yeah,
too.
We would love that. So anyways, on that note, we love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us on I Love That For You. Our theme song is by Vaudeville and used with permission. Our cover art is by Jenny Lamb, edited to the best of our abilities by Kelly and Red. If you want us to spotlight someone, have questions, or just want to say hi, email us at ilovethatforyoupod@gmail.com or join us on Instagram at ilovethatforyoupod to join the love fest and see what else we get up to. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, basically wherever else you listen. We appreciate all your love, and if you want to help support the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. This helps us spread the love and reach more people. Thanks for listening. We love you.